This show is for educational purposes only and is not personalized advice. Consult your tax advisor before taking action. All investments involve risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Read show notes for full disclosure.
Welcome to the Physician Family Financial Advisors podcast, where physician moms and dads like you can turn today's worries about taxes and investing into all the money you need for retirement and college.
Hello, physician moms and dads. I'm Nate Reneke, certified financial planner and primary advisor here at Physician Family Financial Advisors.
And I'm Ben Utley, certified financial planner and Physician Family's very own service team leader.
Today, we are going to talk about how an open enrollment blunder could cost your family hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a lot, Ben.
That's a lot of scratch.
Yep. Yeah, it seems sort of impossible. Like, open enrollment happens every year. It seems kind of like not a big deal, but it is.
Open enrollment? Yeah, it does seem like no big deal. It's like you check the boxes, you do the same thing you did last year, right? I mean, we're doing that right now for our own benefits.
Exactly.
So hundreds of thousand dollars, I mean, that's a lot of dough. What is it that a person does in open enrollment that causes them to miss out on that kind of dough?
Yeah, so one of the biggest decisions, most important decisions that physicians make during their open enrollment period is which health insurance plan they're going to choose for their family. Mm-hmm. So you and I know this, there's a lot of times, there's so many options, but the one option that people tend to miss is the high deductible health plan. Mm-hmm. And that is actually the option that can save you a ton of money and make you a ton of money.
Wait a minute, high deductible health plans, it's like that's the one where you go and your health insurance pays like nothing. Are we on the
right.
same page?
We're on the same page. That is the fear that many physicians have in using one of these plans.
Okay.
But I'm going to talk about why they're good, not where they're bad. And then later I want to talk about if it's worth it.
Okay.
Okay? So if you use a high deductible health plan, you get access to a health savings account or an HSA. Uh-huh. Okay.
Got it.
And that HSA is what's going to unlock the ability to capture this $366,000, which is a very specific number. And it's the number we calculated that the average physician misses if they don't use
wow.
an HSA.
So that's the foregone benefit of not using an HSA.
Exactly.
Wow. So I have a health savings account. I've been using it for years, but I think, you know, HSA might be something new to people. And so I'm sure there are some listeners who think they already have this because they have a flexible spending account, which is an FSA. And as you and I know, they're not the same thing. So break it down for us. Like, what is a health savings account?
Right, right. So a health savings account is a tax advantage account where you can save several thousand dollars a year into the account to pay for qualified medical expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the high level look at this. To qualify for it, obviously, you have to use the high deductible health plan during open enrollment. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can get one of these either through work or at a big brokerage company like Fidelity.
Right. Okay, so how does it work? Like, how do I get the benefit out of it?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bunch of ways to get the benefit. A huge portion of the benefit is tax savings. So next year, the limit's $8,300. You put that $8,300 in an HSA, and the average physician's going to get about a third of that back in taxes, so $2,700.
Got it.
So that is one of the biggest tax breaks a physician can get, because their income doesn't it doesn't have a limit for how much you can make before you lose that benefit. You can't lose it.
Okay, so if I put $2,700, if I could save $2,700 next year, and let's say I'm a younger physician, I got 30 years. I mean, 30 times 2,700 is still like just like about $80,000. So there's got to be more to this.
Yep, there is. So when you put this money in an HSA, you have two options with what you can do with it. You can either leave it in there just as cash, or you can actually invest the money.
Hmm.
So when you invest this money, which is the right thing to do in your HSA, it grows with the market. And much like other accounts, like a taxable account, it would grow at a similar rate. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're investing the same way you'd invest for retirement. Makes sense so far, Ben?
Yeah, so basically we're talking about like the same investment, just do you make that investment in a health savings account or do you make it like in a taxable account someplace?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Now, the difference is that they're taxed much differently. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with a taxable account, the money grows and when you pull the money out, it gets taxed, all the growth.
Right.
But with an HSA, you put the money in, you get the tax break. You invest it, it grows, and that growth, when you pull it out, is completely tax-free.
Okay, cool. So when you use it for the right things, which is, you know, buying healthcare stuff, mm-hmm. even paying for long-term care, when you're in retirement, if you just spend on your regular retirement stuff, the withdrawals are federally tax-free.
Correct.
Cool.
Yep. And so that's the other half of the taxes. So all the tax breaks you can imagine, literally dollar for dollar, the best way to save on taxes for physicians.
So if I'm getting this right, the health savings account is the only thing I can think of that gives you all three of those benefits at the federal level, right? Because 529 mm-hmm. plans, you get some states, you get a little tax break in the state, you can take it out when you pay for school with it. But it sounds like the health savings account is unique. I mean, it's even above and beyond the Roth stuff, like easy in, easy growth, easy out, completely tax-free, like that seems to be the bomb. I mean, it's like, would it be better to fund this than your 401k? Like, let's say after you got the match, or like if I have limited dollars, what would I go with this first? Do you think that'd be the top or somewhere near the top of the filling order?
It certainly would. Now, it's surprising to hear that. So it's surprising to hear that the HSA is the best place to put your cash. Mm-hmm. I want to make it real clear. You should be doing both, and most physicians do both.
Yeah.
But let's say you're early on and you just have one random year in the very beginning where you just don't have enough money to do both. So mm-hmm. in that one year, HSA is best.
Yeah, okay.
All right. But both terrific. HSA is just a little bit better.
Like maybe I could see like mm-hmm. a newly minted attending that is you know, like they're excluded from the 401k plan because they haven't worked there long enough. Mm-hmm. And they're choosing between like doing their backdoor Roth and maybe putting money in a taxable account and the health savings account. So it sounds like the health savings account is like primo, like that's the numero yes. uno thing you should do.
Yeah. Side note on that too, for mm-hmm. that physician that has no cash, mm-hmm. Technically in a really bad situation, you can still get your hands on this HSA, which is not as easy in those retirement accounts. So if you had a health scare or something.
I mean, let's face it, if you're going to have an emergency, it's probably going to be a health.
Right.
It's going to be a health emergency, right?
Exactly.
So, okay, cool.
Yeah, three stars across the board for that.
It sounds like we know how they work now. So,
wait, there's one more thing.
Okay.
Okay. So that is the lion's share of the savings here. But okay. The other part that many people don't really dive into is the premiums. So high deductible health plans are cheaper. They just cost less every year. So when you run that out over 20 or 30 years, that plus the tax savings, plus the growth in the account, that is what makes up this $366,000 figure of overall benefit by using an HSA. So don't forget about the premiums. It's hundreds of dollars a month usually.
But with that, you also have the high deductible, right? So like you go, you have a regular thing, the bill's a couple hundred bucks, and insurance doesn't pay for it until you basically get hit right. by a bus, right? So, I mean, how does that factor into the decision?
Yeah. So, the way that I like to look at this is you have this huge benefit in cash, mm-hmm. or I shouldn't say the way I like to look at this. The way people do look at this, physicians that are afraid of using HSAs, the mm-hmm. way that they look at this is they see that cash and they look at it as trading it for the benefit or the health of their family. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they, a lot of times will just say no, they don't want to do that. They're not willing to trade the healthcare for their family. But if you look at $366,000 and you say, you know, let's say over 25 years, mm-hmm. then that would mean that your health costs would have to be almost $15,000 per year to eliminate this benefit.
It kind of feels like a false dichotomy. It's like, do I get some tax benefits or do I take care of my family? And I think the proper choice, as I see it, is do I get these tax benefits or do I take a chance that I might have to pay for my family's care out of pocket / suck the money out of my health savings account?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So I could see why physicians are scared off of this. But I mean, is this right for everybody? I mean, surely there's some case of physicians where this is like a no-go.
Yeah. I have seen in running these numbers probably 100 times, I have seen it not be right for less than 5% of people. Mm-hmm. And those people are families that have a family member with a chronic health issue. And more importantly, there are some health issues that people have that aren't really covered at all by health insurance. So you just got to pay for the whole thing. The other big one is prescription medicine that isn't covered. And you can do the math pretty easily now that you, if you're, now that you've listened to this, if it's above, you know, $10,000-$12,000 a year, and you know you're going to be eating away at this benefit every year, then it's probably not right for you.
Yeah. Well, what about like those once or four times in a lifetime things? Like, oh, like let's say you're planning to have some kind of elective surgery and you can schedule it at your will. Like maybe it's a knee or a hip or something like that. Or you know, for the folks we serve, like what about like having a baby? How do you handle, like, how do you handle, is that, what do you do with the HSA in that year?
Right. So I've successfully managed my way around that a couple times in my own family, and I've helped maybe a dozen families do the same. So let's say most people are kind of planning when they're going to have a baby. Sometimes you get surprised and it doesn't work out. But let's use that as an example. If you get pregnant, let's say you get pregnant in August. Okay. And you have a few months until open enrollment. During open enrollment, you know that you can switch to the better health plan, right? And then you will have your baby during the time or during the year that you selected the health plan that will pay a ton of the costs of having that baby.
Like first dollar coverage.
Exactly. And then this is the cool part. Right when you have that baby, you have a life event that allows you to change health plans again. So,
Wait a minute. I was thinking you're going to tell me that she has the baby and then you go, you know, like, oh, you can do it again next year, and you go through open enrollment. I mean, this is to this moment, I had never seen or heard that strategy before. So break it down for me because I want to hear it again.
Yeah. So I've done this myself successfully once. My second child, the timing wasn't right. And in that case, that's what we did, Ben. We chose the better health insurance. We couldn't switch. We couldn't really switch back.
Okay? Well, where was that strategy at the team launch? Well, I need to hear about that.
Well, our clients are getting it, so that's good. So how it works is if you plan it right, you get pregnant at an opportune time, then, and really there's only a few months that it doesn't work. So, you know, 9 months of pregnancy, if as long as you're within that 9 month window that open enrollment rolls around, like let's say the baby is due in December, you can switch to the better health insurance in November, have your baby. And then as soon as that baby comes out healthy, which is actually a big important thing, because if
there's a big if, right?
It's a big if. And if that doesn't happen, stay on the good insurance.
Sure.
But if a baby comes out healthy and you kind of know what's out in front of you with your bills and everything, then as soon as that baby comes out, you have a life event that allows you to switch insurance plans before open enrollment again.
Oh, that's awesome. I just love this. You know, I love serving families, and this is like, this is one of those neat things that we see because we do specialize in families. And honestly, folks, I got to tell you, this is the first time I've ever heard this strategy. So it's a good thing that I'm not working with the younger doctors, because I might miss this. Most of my clients have already, that ship has sailed. the whole ship of babies, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. It's a great strategy. Okay.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a little more in detail. So we've laid out all this money you can save, right? And we've laid out one strategy on how you can work around big bills. And the key is here is missing out on 1 year of this, even if you don't have the the baby situation like I described. That doesn't, that's not the lion's share of this savings. You can do miss this 1 year and it's no big deal. You can miss it 2 years and it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But there are specific, there's a specific strategy on how to use your HSA that many people miss. And while they get some of this benefit, they leave some on the table. Okay. So there's two wrong ways to use an HSA and there's the right way. The first wrong way is to not use it.
Okay. Right?
That for most families, that the bottom line, you should probably be using an HSA.
And when you say not use it, you mean like they fail to choose health savings account and then they fail to contribute to it. Is that right?
Correct.
Because, I mean, you don't want to use the HSA by taking money out of it because that kills all the tax-deferred growth, right?
That's the second wrong way.
Okay,
some people get this half right, and they use the high-deductible health plan. They contribute to it. They get that $2,700 in tax benefit that year, which is great. Mm-hmm. But then they do what everyone else in America does who can't afford their health bills out of pocket, and they use their HSA to pay for their medical expenses.
Oh, yeah, because compound growth, even 50% compound growth on zero is still nada.
Exactly. So the right way to do this is to do something that many, many people never think to do. In fact, I would go out on a limb and say this isn't what HSAs were meant to be used for. They weren't meant to be used for a retirement savings vehicle. Mm-hmm. So nobody tells you how to do it. Mm-hmm. Because that's not what they're for. But the right way to do this, sign up for your high deductible health plan, get the HSA, contribute to it the maximum amount every year, invest the money, and never spend the money until you retire.
Right. Right. And I've seen kind of like the half mistake where people contribute to it and they do everything right, but in the end, like they don't invest it. So they're getting cash yields, and usually the yields on these things are pathetic, and some people are put off by the fact that maybe you have to have a minimum in cash before you can invest it. Some of these things have a brokerage window. Like I had one with a brokerage window that was a total pain. I had to move money into the brokerage window and then invest it. And it was kind of actually terrible. Even for me, it was a pain, but I could see people not doing that, but it extinguishes all the growth that you could have, right? So there's a lot of little catchy, hiccupy details in here.
There is. In fact, we're going through this right now with all of our clients, and I have at least half a dozen families that are new to an HSA, and they get it. They see this big pile of money, and they get it. Okay, so they want to do it, but it just doesn't connect for them. This is a health account. Like, what exactly do I do? Mm-hmm. So they're taking the advice and doing it kind of in blind faith. And then once you get them on the phone and explain that to them about the investing, leaving it in there, paying out of pocket, then this is what happens next, Ben. This just starts to look like bad insurance to them. Okay. So there's another piece here. There are families that we've given this advice and they have simply decided to not take it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this isn't the best insurance.
Yeah.
And they're focused on the benefit that of the health insurance that they get. And once they understand the taxes even, they just still feel like they're not going to get the care their family deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key here is to, once you can understand the math of all this and see the benefit, be okay with going to the doctor, continue to go to the doctor. I see people just decide not to go because they have an HSA or a high deductible health plan, and pay out of pocket. Plan for this. It's part of your budget.
Yeah.
And I looked up before this call, it looks like after premiums are taken out and everything, that the average family will spend a few thousand dollars more on health expenses by using this high deductible health plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, $3,000 more for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's $60,000, right? You still have $306,000 of benefit, even though you're doing all the, doctor visits and everything that your family needs.
And that's for the average physician. So, high earners, specialists, doubled physician families earn more. And when I ran this math, which, by the way, this is part of the Overtax Doctors Retirement Investing Checklist, and there's a link in the show notes where you can get yours for the very low cost of zero. But anyway.
Yes. Yeah. So did you say the number?
Well, it's over a half million. I can't remember what the number was, but it's quantified. And I mean, there are like 20 some odd tax breaks that, you know, sometimes they go overlooked. And mm-hmm. this is one of those things. And, you know, there were so many people that are skipping out on the HSA. I was like, I wonder how much this is really costing people. I wonder how much I'm actually benefiting from this when I do it. And I was shocked to see how high the number was for me. And then I was like, well, okay, you know, I'm not in the top tax bracket. Let's figure out what it is for the specialists. And I was surprised, you know. It's mm-hmm. just really, it's stunning to see how huge that number is.
Yeah. I have ran this out on for a couple families recently. One was 20 years out from retirement. The other was 10. And I hadn't run a 10-year out HSA kind of projection for anyone. And I was really curious, like, is this actually going to help? Because it's 10 years. And you and I know in investing, the key to everything is that compound growth.
Yeah.
And if that goes south, or if you don't have enough years, the benefit gets smaller and smaller. It was still six figures.
Yeah.
I mean, the tax savings, when you get into those higher, this was a double doctor family. Mm-hmm. They're in the highest tax bracket.
Yeah.
I mean, they still save six figures, and they have to worry a little bit less about cost of health insurance because their children were out of the house.
Yeah, okay,
so, cool. I mean, this is like across the board, unless you have really high health costs every year, this is a game changer.
So I want to go back to something you said. So mm-hmm. you said bad health insurance, good health insurance.
Right.
And, you know, I think that those are really subjective terms, and I'm not sure that they really capture what's going mm-hmm. on. So I know what you're saying, and I'm going to break that down for our listeners. So bad health insurance is not health insurance that's, you know, going to ignore you if you have cancer. It's mm-hmm. health insurance with a high deductible, which means that you pay for everything up until you hit $6,000 or $7,000 out of pocket. Then it pays most, if not all, of the benefits that are required, okay?
Right.
Good health insurance, quote-unquote good health insurance, is health insurance where there might be a copay and it pays for a little bit of everything up until the deductible is met. And I know that this is old hat for some of you who may have done your own billing and dealt with questions from patients about this. But since Obamacare, you know, all policies essentially are created equal, and really the deductible is a big difference. You're not going to be left hanging if you get, you know, the insurance that is quote unquote bad. You know, I mm-hmm. almost object to that, but I get it. You know, it sucks to show up and have to pay out of pocket for stuff, but that's really the difference. It's not like you're going bare, you know, it's not mm-hmm. like your family won't get the care that they need because the insurance sucks. It's just that you're going to have to pay more out of pocket with this. And that is the suck. You know, that's mm-hmm. the thing you give up for this potential giganto tax benefit, the same way that, you know, you give up the use of money when you stick it in your 401k.
Yeah. Let me bridge this gap a little bit further. Okay. So the reason I use those words is because those are the words I hear physicians use.
Exactly.
Good and bad. Right.
Yeah.
And I also object to it.
Yeah.
But there's one piece that can help people if they still feel like it's bad insurance, which you and I object to. But if they still feel like that, the key to this could simply be a fully funded emergency fund.
Absolutely.
You get a fully funded emergency fund. It's well over the out-of-pocket maximum in a high-deductible health plan. Mm-hmm. And you know that if things go south 1 year, you can just pay for it. And if that scares you so bad that you want to miss it, and you decide, you know, to me and just for my mentals, I would give up this $300,000 to $500,000 of benefit, you can just switch back the next year.
Yeah, or just, you know, actually take the money out of your health savings account for that one thing, right? So,
right.
I mean, I read someplace that the average family experiences like a very large medical bill year in 1 out of 5 years. And of course, the more kids you have, the more likely you are to have that.
Right.
But that was a statistic that I had. So, I mean, you know, you could take that tax benefit and chop it down by 20%. It's still six figures. You know, it's still enough to be able to buy, like, I don't know, a gigantic car or a very small house, you know?
Yeah, right.
In fact, the $360,000 is about the cost of a really nice college degree these days. So you could think of it in that way.
Yep, agreed.
All right, so I feel like that we have just stomped all over this health savings account subject today. So can you tie this up with a neat bow and just give me the takeaway?
Yes. So the big takeaway here is that take a minute during open enrollment to consider an HSA and most likely get one.
Awesome. Okay, so that's all for today, folks. Until next time, remember, you're not just making a living, you're making a life.
Thank you for listening to the Physician Family Financial Advisors podcast. Are you getting all the tax breaks you really deserve? To find out, get your copy of the Overtaxed Doctor's Retirement Investing Checklist, available at physicianfamily.com/go.